And now Houston, Texas, make some noise, because the time for talk is over. It's time to unleash the fury.
Was he just counting to
us?
Like
we never do that.
Where did that
come from? That's how you know Diego's sober. There's no alcohol on the table today. We've run dry. Diego counted us in like I don't know, like this some kind of
sober
technical operation.
It's sober October.
Sober October.
Whatever. It's this is fucking bullshit one January. Cuss. I know. Two. Two for one.
Two cuss. Sober October.
So how many
jacked up January? Words? We got no liquor on the table.
How many curse words does he get this show? None. It's you're going straight cold
Zero.
Turkey. None.
Cold turkey. All right.
Zero. You're not going to say fuck one time.
Nope.
All right. Hey, we need the soundboard right now with the Family Feud buzzer. So whenever Eric drops an F-bomb,
nah.
Yeah. All right.
Happening.
All right, man. Clean. We'll ad lib the sound effect.
Clean.
And whenever Eric says it,
go for it.
Clean.
Yeah, fair enough, man.
I can start texting you that like people aren't turning in shit or
no. I'll put it on. Oh, do not disturb.
Ooh, yeah. Hey, I'll find some stuff to drag out a cuss word.
You can see this after the podcast, and you'll be able to see how many messages I missed and phone calls because I'm gonna decide to do not disturb today.
Look at you taking the show serious today.
Yeah, it's my job.
Yeah.
This is my job.
This is my life.
This is my life.
This is my life.
We're going clean. We're trying to get picked up by the Family Life Network.
This is my freaking life.
FLN.
Between Top Gun on my left and the non-cursing Rick and Eric Garcia
here. That's a great look.
That is a
great
look.
Should I put it in a red cup and act like I'm drinking anything?
Straight, drinking.
I mean, you know.
Drinking like you're standing outside of 7-Eleven.
And you know, when...
like I'm on the beach, getting ready to play a volleyball game.
So here's my speech. When you need to go to a fight, you got to see a live show. When you do that, you got to drink. You have to drink and watch a live show. You have to.
This is
If not, you're going to miss the chance and opportunity to see Josh Van.
We're
going
to have a guest here in a little bit. Where is he supposed to sit?
Well, you know,
I got a mic for him, but let me.
Is that good? He can't stand up the whole time. Right,
he's gonna cut a promo the entire time he's on.
All right, hold on.
Diego's trying to push his stool in.
Well, Diego, wait, where are you going now?
Get a chair.
You trying to push?
Oh Lord! See, hey, he's too busy counting us in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He's too busy doing that bullshit to make sure that we've got a chair for our guest. There's another cuss word on the board for me.
When it comes to pushing stool. It's gay if you're pushing or getting pushed.
Is it more gay if you're the one doing the insertion?
I think yes. I think if you're the stool pusher, I'm and okay, I've got to pick one or the other. It's that guy.
Who would you rather be?
Who would I rather be? I'd rather be like, you know, the guy on the other side of the wall, like not being a part of any of it.
Would you rather be the recorder?
Man, I'm not playing this game. You and Raheel have the worst games ever. I'm not playing this game with you
would
guys.
You rather be
your
the guy?
Fetishes. You want to hear which way I would like to take it or something? No, not happening.
Would you rather be the giver or the receiver?
I'd rather be like on the defense playing safety.
I feel like Wayne,
none of the above.
Wayne is a power bottom for sure. Right? Like Wayne's got a backup on that ass. He's not gonna sit there.
Is there a name for it? Like that's just like a position, like on the back of a baseball card.
I could be the receiver.
Yeah, but he'd be the receiver. But he's
not
like,
willingly.
But he's
though.
Like an aggressive receiver. You know, he's down there. He's like, you can't do shit about this. Fucking
yeah.
Consensual.
That's called a victim. The victim position.
Yeah, enough talk about that.
Yeah, no,
that's no laughing matter, you bastards.
This podcast is designed to talk about MMA primarily.
And mustaches.
And stuff.
And mustaches.
Know, and other topics.
And other topics.
On occasion. I think we've exhausted the other topics with
our sober
conversation.
It's mainly fists, dicks, and boobs. That's pretty much the majority of what gets talked about in here.
Yep.
Fists.
Yeah.
Fighting. Dicks, you know. Where
Diego, yeah,
so,
right.
And then massages.
Massages.
And,
you saw that face?
I did see that face.
What was that?
It's like an aggressive gay man in Montrose at 3 a.m. The last guy coming home to Denny's.
Oh,
what are we doing? Oddly specific.
Yeah, Rich Ubered that guy home, by the way, whenever it was all said and done.
Yeah.
I tell you what, it's been
Uber.
It's been a heck of a week for us.
It's been a heck of a 24 hours.
It's been a heck of a week for Fury FC this week, man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's just a lot of injuries.
Oh, okay.
Sickness.
I was going to say, I haven't, like, heard a lot of the news. That's yeah, why. I mean, it's that kind of bullshit. The behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't hear about.
We keep it under wraps. Yeah. We try to, you know.
Sometimes you learn about fights being canceled without.
I know. That was probably the first time that's happened to
what?
Us.
What happened?
So we found out yesterday through the manager of Josh Walker that his opponent had pulled out.
Oh, wow. So they called Josh directly and said, hey, we're not fighting?
No. So evidently the manager had listened to an interview somewhere.
When was that interview?
I don't know, because I couldn't find the interview.
I couldn't find it either.
And so basically messaged, you know, Eric and I saying, hey, what's going on here? They're saying they're pulling out of the fight.
I said, I haven't heard a damn thing.
No one had told either one of us anything, so now we've got to start trying to find.
What was crazy about it is I had just talked to him.
You're supposed to fight Trujillo, right?
No, mm-hmm. Luis Garule
is supposed
to fight Josh Walker. But what was crazy is I had literally just talked to his coach an hour prior.
Yeah.
And everything was on point. His flights are booked. His hotel is booked. And then I get this, and then I send that message back to the coach, and he's like, dude, I have no idea what's going on. Let me call him. And then, like, 30 minutes later, yeah, man, he's out. Well, fucking thanks a lot.
Wow.
There goes my first curse word.
Dang, I didn't even make it.
See?
Not even 6 minutes. Wow. Not even 7 minutes.
6 minutes in.
Survey says. Bing.
Well, New Year, same old Garcia. Yeah.
Let's go.
Hey, listen, he was right. He's, until you start talking about the business and all the stuff that goes into
yeah.
it. It's kind of hard, man. Like,
that's what happens.
But man. For that to happen, it's just. And I still don't have an explanation as to why.
Well, we'll look at
we're looking for it. But
it's one of those weeks as well.
Man, like, that's really unfortunate because he's like one of our
great fight,
top bro. Prospects. And that was a fight that I know a lot of people were looking forward to seeing. Yeah. So I hope everything's all right. Yeah, I wish him the best. Hope everything's okay. But damn, dude, that sucks. Hopefully.
It's a rough way. It's a hard way to find out about it because it's kind of embarrassing. Well, it's not kind of. It's embarrassing when someone messages you about your promotion and you're like, what's going on? I don't know. Yeah. What happened?
That's beyond your control, though.
Yeah, I
mean, even the manager didn't know. So, I mean, come on.
Listen, yeah.
That's kind of shady, man. Yeah, I mean, I'll say it.
That's where running like a high level stand up honest promotion where you have a reputation that you've done the right thing with multiple teams and managers and coaches. That's where this comes into play where they say, yeah. Well, we know that's not how they do business. So it had to be something outside of their control.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was. But we're diligently looking for a replacement. And we're hoping we can find somebody. And worst case, I've reached out to Garule's camp and said, hey, listen, if it's something that he got injured, if there's a weight issue, if we got to bump this thing to 2-4 and move it 2 weeks, luckily we do run shows pretty much every other weekend. There's other cars that we can just
move that over to.
Yeah, we'll bump it back.
You know, it sucks too because it's one of those situations where we'll have a lot. If we don't get Josh matched up, we'll have a lot of people like, oh, how come you couldn't get him matched up? You know, listen. Right now, who wants to come fight Josh Walker on a week's notice?
No, he's 8-1.
Yeah. And number two, the people who would, let's say, want to fight is going to be another Josh Walker. And Josh Walker, A, should actually have the time to prepare correctly for the other guy. It's a big risk now. You're 8 wins.
Yeah, like, not only that, we have 2-4 pretty much built, 223, 310, and 322. And a lot of our flyweights and bantamweights are booked already on that those cards. Sure. So we'll figure it out.
That's the fight game, ain't it?
Yeah, I talked to Jeremy and Copley a little bit through text last night. And I mean, we might have to sign a brand new guy just to come in and fight Walker if that's what it takes. We're trying to keep our current roster busy because we have so many guys, but
you've got them all booked out 2-3 months in advance. I mean,
so if that's what it takes to have to sign somebody else, man, we're
but
just
even like
have to bring somebody
even up. You know, 48 hours ago, you and I were sitting there going, "Hey, feeling pretty good, man. Like we got the cards rocking, rolling." April, remember you just say like feeling pretty good, man. Like I think I'm gonna start making documents for April and shit. All right, today we're like,
Fuck, man, we're so far behind on these cards. They're rolling up.
I mean, we were in Mexico a week ago, and we're sitting on the beach like, dude, like, we got a huge
life is easy.
Yeah. Give me another margarita.
Yeah, right.
It was cool because he brought two of his butlers with us.
Yeah.
And it was nice just to have the extra additional people.
He calls those his cash boys.
Yeah, yeah.
But not Lulu, butlers.
Lulu
cash
and Lolo.
Lulu and Lolo.
They're part of the family. I get it, man.
Diego, what you got to say? I see you grinning and stuff, man. You see these racist comments?
Lulac. We're going to get Lulac after you guys.
Yeah. Half the show would be fucked. What are you talking about? Like,
that's true. Never mind.
Hey, do not disturb.
Yeah, I've got mine on D&D. Eric has his on D&D. You should have yours on D&D as well.
Mine's just so no one messages me. So
nonetheless, man, it's been...
Well, I say that. I thought mine was on D&D.
It's been a stressful 48 hours.
It has been.
Do not start pulling. But there's a call ringing through.
It's rambling fucking Top Gun over here.
That's what I do.
With his phone instructions.
You're welcome.
We ain't talking like, fucking iPhones, listen. I hit the button.
For real, man, it's like, oh, do not disturb, but it's ringing through.
I just turned mine off like an adult, guys. I don't know.
I got a privacy screen, so from here I can't even see if it's ringing or not.
It's ringing.
I don't care. Listen, man, I don't care. It can wait.
Next week, that's our big main event, Ultimate as well.
Yeah.
That place is going to be rocking, man. I know we'll break down. Well, I won't be here next week with you guys, but I know we'll break down the fights a little bit more next week. But Ultimate as well, man, I'm ready for just the feeling of that building when those two guys walk in. Because, I mean, that's two of historically our biggest ticket pushers in the market.
Yeah. Which brings even more stress, honestly, to us because you don't want to get that call this week or next week that one of them got cut, one of them got hurt, this happened, whatever.
We're kind of at that point now where they shouldn't be training that hard, right? I mean, we're close enough.
School's different, man.
Yeah, we say that, but I just – I feel like guys like that, like, are handling business up until the last moment, you know, and it can.
And a lot of the times too, it's not even a hard training incident. Floor's wet, you know, like you're moving and the guy next to you shooting in, and you just happen to click, you know, hits the back of your leg as they're rolling. Like, small things happen. It's not always the hard, because I always feel like this week leading up to it is more of like the dangerous. You're kind of cutting weight. You're weaker than normal. You don't feel yourself, and so you're a little bit more apt.
You're pushing a little harder to compensate.
Like make a small little mistake.
Yeah, that makes sense.
An injury or something like that. I mean, it definitely happens. There's some schools though, man, who like they go right up. Until,
I remember
like, 2 days
one time
before,
I was getting ready for a fight and I was rolling with Todd Moore, and it was literally like we were just rolling, and it was the week before the fight, and I was just trying to sweat. And I went to take his back, and he went to sit out, and he just threw an elbow back as he sat out. I didn't even feel it. Yeah. And, like, I felt it hit, but, like, I just kept going, and then I just started seeing blood. Stitches.
Damn.
Glued it up, put makeup on it, waiting the next week, and still fought.
Still bled everywhere?
Yeah.
Kick ass. Who'd you fight?
I think it was Jacob Capelli. I think it was my pro debut, actually.
He was trying to give you a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Todd Moore to bust you up in the hard way.
That sucks, Todd.
Yeah, man. Todd Moore betrayed you. True maniac. WWE fashion.
Shout out to the maniac, Todd Moore. Yeah. Texas OG. Yeah.
Texas made Todd Moore, my boy.
Real quick, I got a question for you because I know it's mine, but what is your biggest pet peeve when matching a card? Like when trying to help match or fill in spots? Like, let's say I send you the document. The card's 90% made. You see a couple fights you need to match. Then you see the good fights.
Right.
And then we come into fight week or the week before and we start losing them. And now feature fight lost his opponent or co-main. When you have to start reaching out to guys or when you have to deal with that, what is your biggest pet peeve?
Talking to humans.
Well, that's mine. But.
You know, the thing that stands out most to me about that right away when I think of that is that when I call and I'll get the, oh, man, we played badminton once together or some shit.
I can't fight him. I know him.
Oh, this week I got
our teams don't like each other.
He told me about
our
that.
Our teams
one.
Don't like each other.
So this we is, can't fight.
So we're not going
to
fight.
This is your opportunity to punch him in the face, legit, legally.
The excuse that's wow. That's a non-reality excuse.
Is right. That, yes, hate. That's kind of bad.
What about you?
I think probably my biggest pet peeve is when I get with a couple managers or a manager and they offer up the fight. Okay, man, I got this guy. This is going to be perfect. I said, are you 100% that this guy's going to come in? He can do his medicals. We'll do everything. Before I pitch this fight to the guy who lost his opponent, yeah, man, let's do it. So then I pitch the fight. It's accepted. And then within 24 hours, man, my guy ain't going to be able to do it after all.
Yeah.
That's the way to never get called again. Like, I will never do business with you again. Either that or you pitch a guy, this guy can do it. And then I said, okay, let me confirm on the other end. And then when I go back and I'm like, hey, okay, he's in. And then you don't respond.
Yeah.
And then it's 2 days, 3 days, and the manager don't respond. And I'm sitting here like, dude, you're wasting my time. Like,
I hate when you get those same people who beg you for an opportunity.
Or that.
Like, our DMs are just stacked of messages of like, hey, I'd love to fight for Fury. I'd love to come out and compete. But then when I present opportunity, you're not ready.
Well, I'll tell you what. So there's guys like that are at the top of my pet peeve list. But then there's guys like how Josh Van used to be, even like Isaiah Diggs right now. Like the dude, if he tells me he can fight, he'll fight.
We've mentioned some names before, you know, but those guys who like are ready, like I want to fight for Fury. Say, okay, can you fight in a couple weeks? Yes. Here's my medicals. I'm ready. Those are the guys that are truly ready for the opportunity.
And it's very important to be smart with your career at the beginning, especially when you're a debut or first few fights, whatever. Sure. But I can't say that I don't like the guys that say, yeah, I'm in. And then they say, well, who's the opponent?
Yeah.
Like, if you don't care about who you're fighting, makes it even easier for us. You know, but the guys who are, well, let me go see what he was doing 3 years ago.
Let me go watch some
footage.
Look at his
IG and see how he hits pads.
Talk to my wife.
Those are always my favorites. They're like, how tall is he? I don't know.
Tapology is your friend, homie.
What's his background?
Well, sometimes,
I barely know his last name.
Sometimes these tapologies and stuff have nothing on there. Everything is NA. But that, too, goes back to, you know, who's passing on the info and stuff.
I mean, there's no real
half the time they lie.
Tracking.
I feel like Diego wants to shove this mic in
like
my
he does
face
too.
Look at his hand.
There's no. There's never been like a real ranking system.
Stop touching my man boobs.
Ranking system, even with like Tapology ranking system, for as great as Tapology is as a reference, the ranking system's terrible. Like, well, absolutely terrible.
To be clear, MixedMartialArts.com is the official registry and where it where all of the state commissions input official results. So that's what they go by. They don't look at Tapology. Tapology is like a third party that's put together by other guys, media outlet, whatever. But when a sanctioned licensing regulation company, whatever, Texas, Louisiana, I don't know if Louisiana does it, but
sometimes
anybody who inputs official results, that's
highly unlikely.
The official record,
is
mixedmartialarts.com. So if you're curious about somebody and their fights and who they fought, that's where you go. Tapology's might have some mix-ups.
They have some, and they don't say it's updated because mixedmartialarts.com is where everything gets uploaded. You know? So like, and you do you know why everybody uses that website?
Which one?
Mixedmartialarts.com.
No,
because it was the first and like one of the only.
Oh, okay.
Places that got up and got involved. Well, like early days like Sure Dog and stuff like that.
I know
that,
like, but like if you look at like Louisiana doesn't even input results there.
You probably improve your record for a couple $100 under the table. That's kind of how they roll over there.
We've done some cards out there in Louisiana and I upload the card to mixedmartialarts.com because normally what happens from a promoter standpoint is we build the card. I put the card on mixedmartialarts.com. I put in the state that we're in so the commission can go out there and approve the bouts, tell us what medicals they need. Boom. For Louisiana, they really don't care. Like, they don't, it's not that they don't care, but they don't deal with that. They don't waste their time and go in there and approve the bouts. They approve them at the weigh-ins, I think.
That's why you also see so many Louisiana fighters with just weird records on different websites.
Yes.
Like you'll go to like Tapology and the kid will be 2-2, but on like MMA Reg or something like that, he's like 22-10. You're like, Jesus Christ.
It might be Joseph Garcia on one website and it's Joe Garza on the next website versus the same guys, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like,
and there's no like overseeing body.
Yeah, there's like no regulatory commission or anything.
What about Puerto Rican Norris?
Well,
yeah, we love Ricky Norris.
I mean, for MMA in general. Like
Ricky Norris makes life easy when you're on a show in Louisiana.
I think Brandon Allen should take over that job.
I think Brandon Allen wants that headache. He's got another show. He invited us out to come out to another show he's got coming up. We got his boy Tuco coming back.
I know. I'm excited. You remember Tuco?
Oh, Tocos. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. He broke up the Sean Strickland debacle.
He's coming back to fight Myron Dennis.
Uh-oh. Yeah. That'll be a fun fight.
With the best walkout of the year.
Where are we doing that one? In Dallas. Houston? Dallas? Okay.
Dallas, Texas.
Let's go. I'm there for it, man.
Dallas can be a fun-ass card.
Yeah, we haven't been there in a while, man.
Gillies, baby. Gillies.
Let's go.
Well, what's up with our guest today?
Listen, there's been some controversy with our guest here today. And today we're gonna set the shit straight.
We are setting the record straight today.
Wayne swears it's this silly, stupid way of saying it, toe drank. Listen, first of all, we know he's not gay, right? But that shit sounds gay.
Well,
can't be that.
That's
one.
Subjective. That's a matter of opinion. But
as Diego said, it should be Todd Rank, correct? You used a proper English version.
I guess
you did. Yeah, help me, Wayne. Wait,
he's not doing. Yeah, man. See, he's terrible. He's terrible on a sober Thursday.
Rich is spanking somebody.
He wants to spank Diego.
Who am I spanking up on my chest?
That more. It looks kind of like you're gonna suck it.
Like you're rolling the dice, man.
One name I think we can all agree on is our guest's nickname, Cutthroat. Kyle Toe Drink, welcome into the podcast.
Here you go, sir. You can put that on top of that beautiful mop you got up there.
Fighting out of the War Training Center.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Yeah, of course, right, man. So I'm just glad we got a stool for you. Be careful not to fall off that thing. There's no telling what Diego did to it.
Did you say Todd Rank, right?
It's Toe Drink, but after you queued me up like that, I'm not changing my name.
Hey, that's by design. Rich knows what he's doing.
It's going to be spelled
Don't let him
same.
Get in your head.
It's spelled the same no matter what, so technically he can change the pronunciation anytime he wants.
If he really wanted to.
What, we talked about pet peeves a while ago. Mm-hmm. When Wayne isn't right before Wayne does the announcements at weigh-ins, I got to grab our sheet and make sure everybody's there. So I'm checking everybody. Dude, you know if you have a fucked up name, just first of all, respond. Put your hand up. And if your first name's Dave, but your last name's like Polychronopoulos or some shit like that, I need you to.
Am I understanding the reference there, huh?
Yeah, yeah. That works, man.
So I just go, when I say Dave, go, oh, yeah.
I'm me.
Don't wait for your last name. And then we say it wrong and he still don't raise
That's
his
what I'm
hand.
Saying. Yeah. And if you don't pronounce it right, they don't acknowledge it. It's like, dude, you're the only person here with a name that close to what the fuck I said. Yeah. There's another one for me. Just raise your hand.
Or if you have the dumb sayings of like of names, instead of Dave, you're like, it's Dav.
Yeah, that's another one.
Dave. Dave.
Yeah, hey, we're talking to you, Jamez Ramon.
Jamez Ramon.
James.
I know that, but just looking at it, reading it off paper, you wouldn't say, oh, that's James.
Oh, no,
like
when he first started competing
extra letters
us,
and different letters Jamez, than James.
It was Jamez. That's what I used to call him. Jamez.
He changed it.
Yeah, I thought
it's
it was like
been James,
I thought it was like Jaime, like the Z was silent or something. But yeah, no, it's James. Hey, it's just James.
Didn't know you were coming into a like a literature discussion.
The kid's a killer. Jamez Ramon, 5-1.
Yeah, he's in the title hunt.
He can say his name however he wants.
He really can.
Okay, he'll fight anybody.
Kyle says he'll cut his throat.
Hey,
eat his heart.
He fought Michael White. He fought Ross Thurlwalker.
Yeah.
Now he's walking into a fight with Sebastian Oyarvides. The dude ain't shied away from no 125 fight. Fought Joe Perez. And every fight that he's finished has been by rear naked choke, I think.
He's definitely battle tested.
He lost to Michael White. That's
it. Yeah, no. His finishes were he uses that guillotine. He used that power guillotine ninja choke.
He did.
Yeah.
Even on Ross?
Yeah.
No.
No, Ross was rear naked choke, I think.
Thurlwalker?
Yeah.
He's about to fight Aguilar, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a banger.
Yeah, that's a great fight, man. Ross has come a long way, man. Like, from where he started to where he is now. I've always said he's got an exciting like stand-up game. Yeah. If you look at him and how crispy he is with his hands and his kicks and shit, but like he's putting it all together.
His confidence too, man. Like you can see that. You can see that 3-4 fight confidence starts like build up in them. And their entire persona changes like when you're sitting there.
It's almost like what we've seen him do in Denver, man.
Dude, this dude. So
he ain't no wrestler.
Up until Denver, and I thought you had some valid reasons sometimes. You're like, listen, if you motherfuckers can't stand up, why would I let you?
Yeah, no.
Listen, if you can't make weight, you got no reason to stand up.
Yeah.
You got to earn it.
That's still my favorite cutthroat Kyle moment.
Hey, hold on. What you think about his bed head?
Oh, that looks good. Right? Thank you. Can I get some hair tips from you later?
Yeah, I got you, dog. Bet, I got you.
Beard looking nice.
Thanks, man. Yes, thank you.
Hey, my man Rich is probably one of the few guys I can rock that haircut.
Shit looks good like this.
It looks good. If Rich had an edge up, he'd look. I'd say, cut that shit off, Rich. Can you imagine Rich with an edge up, bro? No.
We could get Rich like the Steve Harvey high top wig.
I was just going to say that. That's crazy.
We get one of those.
You look clean.
I haven't done it.
Find it because I want him to wear that at the next show.
I haven't done it yet, but Jeremy Mahone has been trying to get
Cat Williams
me
see if he
to,
can
like,
tell me where the
introduce wigs,
where to find that stuff.
They're like, just wear different wigs and not say shit to anybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You like grow them out. Basically.
I'm like celebrating. I'm like, is Rich wearing a red wig right now,
bro? If you came to Fury with the high top fade, like thing? Yeah, like
1998 like Steve Harvey,
kid in place,
or that, or that.
Not as high though. We still want you to be able to put a headset.
Can I get
on
the little yellow line in? The one line that's blonde?
Just a little high top.
Tight fade.
Tight fade, I dig it.
Or even like the Tupac from Juice.
Yeah, man, with a little step on the flat top. Yeah.
Hey, that's crazy. So in chess, the bishop has a little notch in it. And in that movie, his name was Bishop.
Yep.
So he had that notch in
it. Attention to detail, man. Right. Tupac, man, he was legend.
So where did you grow up at, Kyle?
Evansville, Indiana. I was actually just talking to Wayne about that. It's like second or third biggest city in Indiana, which isn't much.
People.
Yeah. The area is like 280,000 people. And what's crazy is Yves Edwards and Aaron Riley fought there bare knuckle twice, like way back in the day. Yeah, it's like still on YouTube and everything. So yeah, it's like got a good MMA history to it. I've trained with Yves a few times here, and I trained with Aaron a few times there. And I like pass messages back and forth, like, "Oh, how you doing?" Yada yada.
So it wasn't sanctioned, probably.
Probably not. It's in like a ring. They're wearing like the old school WWE underwear, and they got like the BKFC tape, and you just blood.
It was closed fist.
Yeah, it was bare knuckle. Yeah. It's a banger of a fight. Look it up on.
Because I know here they did like a lot of pancreas stuff at the beginning, right? But it was all open hand.
Open hand. Slap fights.
Yeah. Open hand strike. It's more like combat.
Yeah.
The boss rooting.
Yeah, stuff like that.
In Texas, you couldn't have closed hands still.
Was that sanctioned?
06, 07.
No sanction.
Yeah, they were sanctioned.
Was it Big Greg? No. It was Dickie.
It was Dickie Cole. Dickie Cole. Yeah. Back in the day. It's only been like two guys over the entire.
It's been Dickie and Greg.
Dickie and Greg the whole time, yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like when Saul Solis started promoting, this was the beginning era of licensing and regulation in Texas.
It was. So he actually helped form some of the licensing stuff back then as far as like how they should put things together. Actually, a guy who should really gets no credit, and it's not here in Texas, but Dave Oblis in Atlanta.
But he created everything out there.
He created everything out there, but what came out here was some of that was taken from what they were using.
Speaking of Dave, you know, no offense, but if the only thing I remember about that promotion is Dana doing Looking for a Fight. Dana did Looking for a Fight there, and Matt Serra wanted to beat up their ring announcer.
Yeah.
And they
Oh wow.
And Dana ended up signing nobody, and they left. Yeah. And I don't think they had a very good.
Widely considered like one of the worst episodes of.
Yeah, go.
Is
watch
it on YouTube?
That.
Yes. Should I go watch this?
You should go watch that.
Find out what not to do as a ring announcer, you know, to not want Matt Serra to kill me.
Listen, because it's Matt Hughes. I mean,
Matt Serra.
Matt Serra. Sorry, yeah, it's Matt Serra cheering for one of his guys that was fighting, and it's the ring announcer cheering going for the opposite guy. And then he says something to Matt Serra, and Matt Serra's like, man, you need to be more professional. And then they start going at it.
Yeah.
Well, then when the promoter comes over and says, hey, what's going on? And Matt Serra's like, well, you need to talk to your guy about
check your boy.
You know, and he's like, well, I mean, he kind of said, I'm taking my guy's side.
Yeah.
And then Matt's response was, well, we know a lot about – I find out a lot about people based on who they hang with or who they support. And that right there said, you know, this is bullshit. We're out.
Yeah. So Dane decided with his guy and said, yeah, we're taking
Dane
off.
Dane did, yeah.
So, fuck you. Fuck your promotion.
I mean, how do you do that to Matt Serra and Dana White? It's
like, no. Yeah. Not a good idea. No.
Like, number one, like, wow. I wouldn't probably catch you – sitting there knowing that Matt's sitting right behind you cheering for the opposite guy. If you're going
to
do it, you'll probably do
it. I wouldn't do it to antagonize right. Matt freaking well, Serra, you know.
I mean, did you watch that episode?
Yeah.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. Oh, okay. I mean, that's exactly what happened.
I mean, the dude, Dave might run a great promotion out there, you know, and it might be something great for the locals, but I don't think they'll ever see Dana.
It was just more along the lines of, like, he's been around a long time. But when I say that, he's been around a long time, and most people have never heard of him or his promotion.
What's a long time?
So, like, man, early 2000s,
okay,
like 03, 04, 05, somewhere in that range. Like he was around that Salsa Lease time. Mm-hmm. I want to say he may have even predated that.
I think some of the first Renegade shows that I went to were like 2004.
Probably.
2004, 2005.
It was Renegades and then Young Guns came after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before that, like it was just watching UFC, and I would watch The Ultimate Fighter and UFC, and then I would be like, oh, there's a local one.
Yeah.
And it was a great show, you know. You know, when I got started in 2010, I still feel like it was the early days of promoting.
I mean, yeah, it still is. I mean, we're only celebrating year 30 of UFC, so it's not like, you know. So
I got in halfway.
Yeah, so even when
halfway through.
When you look back to say that right now, you got in halfway, but dude, 50% of the time it's been around, you've been doing it.
Yeah.
So, like, it's just such an infancy of a sport. Like, it's a brand new sport. So
we got to do a quinceañera celebration for your career.
In December. Yeah.
You know, like that UFC December. 300 type. Eric's going in.
Someone's getting railed behind the bean dip at the quinceañera. You know,
you want to be the receiver or the giver?
I don't want to be the camera.
Relax.
Oh, you want to be the camera? Yeah. You want to be the
reporter? I was just thinking, like, you know.
Diego? You want to be the reporter?
Mexican hat dance. Can we just keep it simple? Damn.
Diego the cook over here.
When I started doing the shows though, like if you remember at the beginning, I don't remember that it being there was no pro am. It was either all pro or all amateur.
Yeah.
You know, and there was no drug testing until I think like 2016 I think they started drug testing in Texas.
I don't remember when it became okay to do pro am shows, do you?
I think it like 16, 17.
It was recent. It was relatively recent.
Oh, no, maybe like 2015.
I was going to say I feel like it was more recent than that, man.
It could have been.
Whenever you
it
started, you know, putting the amateurs on the undercard and the pros on the main card, and if we had any swing bouts, it would become an issue. Like, hey, you already did the pro thing.
What are your thoughts on that? Like, do you think pro am is a good card for spectators, or do you think all amateur, all pro?
I like pro am. I like a mix. You know, it gives the amateur fighters an opportunity to, you know, maybe get in front of a bigger crowd, get under the lights, and, you know, get a taste of what fight life would be like as a pro. So, I mean, I like it for that reason.
What do you fought for us at the amateur level, and now you're fighting pro. What do you think? Like fighting on an all amateur card or fighting on a prelim of a pro card and then.
I liked both exactly like he said. Whenever it's like the pro cards and you guys got like all the everything out, you know, pulled out all the stops. It's like feels like a big event, and it like kind of gets you ready for the next level. But I do like the amateur events as well, because on the amateur events I was able to be like higher up in the main event and things like that.
Yeah.
So I think honestly doing both throughout your amateur career is important. Which one did I prefer? Definitely the pro-am cards. I thought that was a blast, especially when I fought for the belt. That was sweet. That was my first time fighting an escapade, like a gladiator pit, people going nuts. Going to a live Fury event is crazy. You got to check them out.
From a fighter,
that's Diego's line.
I know. That's why I threw it in
there. You're
gonna
get sued.
He didn't TM it yet.
Diego's gonna walk out,
Diego's
man.
Like, you son of a bitch.
Stole my fucking
job. I've got one job, man.
Now I got nothing to say the rest
got
of the show.
One fucking job.
I bet you get massages too, huh?
Fuck.
I can start messing with the sound and if you guys want.
So you've been fortunate enough to fight at how many different venues for Fury?
You
fought at Escapade?
Escapade,
Bayou City Event Center. That's the first place I saw him.
The big one, Arena Theater, and then I fought in Colorado for you guys, so four.
Oh, damn. And out of all the venues, what do you like the best?
Escapade. Bro, that is so sweet.
I think we like that one the best, too.
Yeah. I think it's definitely it's the most visually pleasing, right, both on TV and the live, yep, experience. And I love how it looks for you guys walking in, and you, yeah, got to experience that since an amateur.
Yeah.
Like that feeling of walking out. Kind of talk a little bit about like how that, getting those experiences early in your career. You fought for our belt. You fought already in Escapade. So when you came to make your pro career, you made that exact walk.
Yeah. Let me preface it. I've wrestled in front of like 12,000 people, 16,000 people at the state tournament, things like that. You guys' events, that's like as up as I've ever been, you know. It feels like the biggest wrestling events that I've ever been in, like Penn State, et cetera.
Yeah.
It feels like that every single time I fight for you guys. Me and James have had three people come in from out of town, and each time they've turned into MMA fans. That's from awesome. You guys' show. Yeah, and they like go to UFC events and stuff like that afterwards. So
it's awesome.
You guys are really making fans out of people.
Do you still get the same nerves? Like, or what's the nerves like going into wrestling and then going into MMA and being like, damn, I'm going to get punched in the face. Like, it's more than just grapple.
Yeah, I don't let me finish this, but I don't really feel nervous. I feel excited. I feel butterflies. I feel my adrenaline and my cortisol dumping. But like through wrestling, I feel like I've gotten a really good handle on that. So like you can ask Joel, my hands don't shake backstage. Like I'm good to go. Especially when I hit the tunnel and I see the person, I'm just like locked in. And that's where you see me like smile sometimes, yeah, or like whatever. But yeah, no, college wrestling and some of the bigger events that I've been in prepared me immensely, especially emotionally. Like you said, like back in the day, freshman year of high school, I would get nervous as hell. Like I wouldn't be able to wrestle even to my potential because of how nervous I would be.
What got you started in wrestling?
MMA. I started karate when I was 7. I did karate 7.
Wings off! Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for this matchup.
Yeah. Diego, what do they tell you?
Try to keep everything professional and PC around.
I know.
All right, so you're a karate guy.
Yeah, I did karate 7 to 10, and I loved point sparring kids. It was like the only sport that could keep my attention. And when I was 11, I saw Rampage Jackson versus Chuck Liddell 2, and I loved it. And they were talking about how Chuck Liddell wrestled in Cal.
Makes me feel old, man.
Me too.
Golly.
That's the first thing I
You were 11?
I was 11.
I was like
old.
In the fifth grade. Remember that happened? I'm like, God damn.
Yeah, I was they like fought the first time in
hammered prize. Whenever I watched
Second
that.
Time they
yeah, I was 11 years old when that happened.
And I had to be like 30 at least.
I saw Rampage wearing the Home Depot chains.
Yeah.
I was like, that's a bad man right there.
And you walk through Home Depot and then you see the chains. Like, dude, that's what he wore.
Yeah, straight up.
Rampage Jackson was a bad man.
Yeah,
he really was, man. I miss personalities like that.
14. So the town
kind of started later.
Yeah, the town we lived in didn't have wrestling, and then we moved about when I was 14, and they did. So as soon as I could, I hopped on the wrestling mat. I was like fairly natural to it, and my plan was after high school I wanted to start fighting right away.
Yeah.
But I was like getting college scholarship offers and things like that, and my grandma would have beat me if I didn't get a college degree, so I had to go. And it awesome. Ended up working out great, though.
Sounds like a good grandma.
Yeah, she's the mom.
Did you grow up with your grandma?
Yeah, on and off. She hated my post-fight interview that I just did.
I'm sure.
That I just did.
I'm sure.
Hey, listen, like, if she hated it, there's a lot of people that loved it.
Bro. Yeah, factual.
Like,
that's one thing during the post-fight interviews whenever, like, you know, like Kyle is a perfect example. Like, whenever he's in the moment, he's feeling it, and F-bomb, boom, boom, boom. Like, man, there's somebody watching at home that's going to be like, what?
Yeah.
Why are you saying that stuff on the air?
My brother had my nephews, Brody and Luke, watching, and he said, all right, guys, I think he's going to talk about God. And then I started going in, and he just turned it on. So, Grandma David, if you're watching, shout out to God.
Imagine the guys like that get super emotional after, and they start giving thanks to the other woman that they're with.
Oh, no.
Hey, I'm about to come knock your boots right now.
Kyle's just over there like, yeah, man, I fuck started his face, you know, like I fucked that dude up real bad. I was going to rape him at the end, but hey, all glory to God.
Yeah. Stop. man.
Well, I mean, what's better, that or like they start off, well, hey, first off, you know, all glory to my Lord and Savior. But yeah, man, I fucked that dude up in the first round. But we had a guy on Submission Hunter years back, you know, and Eric and I, we kind of had like, you know, these running jokes, and he's, you know, kind of a religious guy, but he like went his match, he was like, fuck yeah, yeah. And he's like in the camera and stuff. It's like we had like these jokes off camera, like, yeah, yeah, all glory to God, fuck yeah, I kicked his fucking ass. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
As long as he goes home and gets on his knees and asks for forgiveness. Yeah,
exactly,
it was
right.
The moment, Lord.
Listen, none of us are perfect.
Exactly. And we are not. And we are not.
So my grandpa is a pastor, and when I got home, that's the conversation that he had with me. He said he's like, man, I told him about somebody calling me out right before the fight, and like I explained to him, when I win, like, that's a different level of adrenaline, like I'm on a different planet, basically. My grandpa told me, he's like, man, things come out of my mouth all the time, right. Da, 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 da. So yeah, I think you can be religious and fight, but yeah, I got to chill on that. So I'm on the no F word counter with you today. I hit it.
That somebody like your grandpa is probably going to say, being a pastor, that, man, you have the opportunity to reach people in a different way
in a
platform like this that is. I always say 84 countries for whatever. When they sent me the press release yesterday, it should be dropping soon. It says over 200 countries.
Wow.
Yeah, okay.
So I guess they're reaching other places. But nice. I mean, UFC Fight Pass reaches 200 plus countries.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of people, man.
It's a huge reach. That's truly global reach right there.
That's a global reach. So somebody like you that has an insane post-fight interview, an insane performance, there's going to be some eyes that catch you that might be like, man, this kid's got the look. Like,
yeah. I appreciate
that. We're
going
to sponsor him, or we're going to do this. I mean – and that's what a lot of fighters don't understand.
You could be the Tim Tebow of breaking faces.
Yeah, man.
That's right.
Maybe.
You could be the guy that exposes Jesus to some kid in another part of the world that never would know.
For certain. I get on my knees and pray after every single fight. So it's actually kind of similar to what you said, man. I literally got up from praying and I gave that post fight.
It happens, man. And if anybody understands, it's God.
I didn't have nothing planned out. So maybe for the next one, because I've never actually got interviewed with Fury before. When I won the belt, James fought for the belt directly after. So I had to get out of there pretty quickly. So maybe next time I'll have something ready to go.
Especially when we start the pro portion of the card, like if you don't get a finish, normally don't interview.
That's the criteria.
Finishes, even on the prelims, if we have time.
It just depends on time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Main card, for sure, all finishes are going to get a...
Makes sense.
But, I mean, how could we not give the Twister finish an interview?
Bro? Yeah.
That was a spectacular...
I appreciate
y'all. So you picked up your third...
Submission of the year, right?
Submission of the year.
Yes, sir. I got the 4 Ounces of Freedom podcast... submission of the year. I got this one, and then I got the war submission of the year.
And he should have got the UFC Fight Pass submission of the year.
Yeah. Well, the only reason it wasn't is because
it was a prelim.
It was a prelim fight.
Yeah,
because I
they took him from main card.
I showed Walker because Walker's a big wrestling fan as well, so it's like
perfect. And he knows who you are.
That was a shoo-in. Yeah,
he does. Like, know who you are. Fuck! If that was only, I'm like,
yeah.
Dough.
I got some stuff I've been scheming up, so I'll try and get submission of the year again this year, and it'll be
Boston
a fight
crab.
Pass. Yeah. Hey, I'm coming for that. Man,
there is a growing bonus on the 2K. Line.
Boston crab, baby.
Hey, so you've mentioned your partner, James, a few times. And kind of tell us, you guys were on a wrestling program.
Yes, sir.
Over at War. And, you know, kind of tell us a bit about the program, how you guys got together and how you guys worked together.
So... James and I came down here in 2020. I came down here in 2020, and a year later, James was like, you know what? I want to fight. I want to do this. So he moved in with me and Mike Moore, which is who I was living with at the time. And we just started getting that program, like going. And then Mike ended up moving to San Francisco or San Diego. And we inherited the wrestling program from him, and it was already up and going. You know, we had like 20 something kids, maybe 30 something kids, but this last summer we had 65 kids on roster.
Awesome, man. Wow, man.
Amazing. Yeah. And then, I mean, we've only been growing every single year. We've grown more. We had 2 Fargo All-Americans 2 years ago, which is the biggest high school wrestling tournament in the country.
Yeah.
We actually had tied for the most out of any club in Texas for Fargo All-Americans that year. So, yeah, numbers are doing great. Performance is doing great. We got Kyle Liu, who won a state title last year. He's going to be trying to win another state title this year. And actually, I think we've sent 5 kids Division I in the 4 years that we've run this program. So, it's been going great.
So you're a great example of what I like to tell both parents and athletes and students, especially young ones, of why wrestling is so important. And a lot of it, whether you realize it or not, comes across. You can see it in people's personalities, and you can see it in their drive to do things. Kind of talk to a little bit about like how wrestling has been important to you in your life and like maybe how it changed you some.
Yeah. So I'm going to start by saying this, take a little different approach.
I don't know what that means, Brian.
Yeah, that's our producer extraordinaire.
Ruining the show, Brian
Duvall, interrupting. Are you cutthroat Kyle Toe Drink?
Are you milking somebody? Are you?
That's what it looks like. What is
air titties?
Oh yeah, appreciate you.
Hey, gay money too.
This is money too. We're open. This is big money right here. I don't know. This is like.
Show is a fucking train wreck.
Could you milk? Hey,
it's off the rails.
Could you milk me, Greg?
That's what I thought of when he started doing that. I was like, what is this? Brian?
You can milk anything.
Take it the direction you were going to take. Yes. A good
dude. Wrestling has some of the most psycho people and some of the worst fans you've ever been around.
Like critical,
but yes, like
worse
forums,
than BJJ.
I think so. It's up there. Online forums going in. And then you guys know a lot of wrestlers come in with the mentality, well, I don't got to do anything else. I'll just wrestle him. And like nobody wants to see that. That's boring. So now let me get into hyping up wrestling. The discipline, learning how to cut weight in a healthy way, what it does for your mentality. Exactly like you said, I feel like I'm ready for anything that happens in a fight because – it's like kind of a slow, not a slower pace, but a different pace. Wrestling is a 7-minute sprint. And you come off the mat almost every match in college ready to like throw up because you're wrestling the state champ or whatever. So, wrestling, as far as being a vehicle, can get you really far in life, teaches you hard work. MMA especially, you can control the battlefield of the fight. But, there's a lot that people don't talk about that's like, bad with it too, because most people, like you said, start when they're 5 and they're like indoctrinated into the sport, and it's like there's some weirdos in the sport for certain. I was around a good amount of them.
It's always beneficial when they can get your wrestling, especially if you're a young fighter, to get your wrestling at an MMA gym, because you do lose some of the crazy built-in skills, or not even skills, like shit that you get at from early starting wrestling, like the coaching, bad habits and things like that. When you go to a gym that's kind of a bit more spread out, like a war training center, you get coaches who are more well-rounded.
Yeah.
So you don't keep that same hammer and nail situation for wrestling over and over and over again. Breaks make strong kids. Also turns a lot of people off. Don't want to come
for certain.
I tell you, like Dorian.
Oh my gosh, dude, that kid's a phenom, bro.
My son wrestled with Dorian from like maybe 5 years old, and Dorian stuck with it. And my son was there like from 5 to maybe 10 years old, and then he left, and Dorian stayed with it.
Yeah.
So he's somebody you get to train with on the regular?
Yeah, so me and Dorian, our last training session, we did 90 minutes of no-gi live situations, and there was at no point either of us stopped moving. Like,
how old is he
scramble-
now?
18, yeah.
Is he looking to make that transition?
I think so. I think they want to do a few more things with wrestling and jiu-jitsu while he's in high school, and then post high school. Because I know he's been doing some sparring and some kickboxing and things like that. His pad work is as clean as can be. So yeah, I think he'll be making that transition in the next coming years. There's a lot of people he's going to ruin their face, I would say.
Man, we would love to have him over here. Man. I'm hoping this is his first choice when he decides to make that jump. What belt is he? Purple?
Purple or brown? And my kid might as well be a black belt.
Like, I think he's still a blue belt. Yeah. I think he's still a blue belt, but he's a black belt assassinator.
He wrestles at what weight?
60-something? I can't. It's hard to tell how big he is.
I mean,
now.
He's beginning
really
to make the rounds in the jiu-jitsu community.
Well, he's
name wise.
He's that he was all over the B team videos that came out with him training up there at B team.
Right.
Even yesterday, Craig Jones's little YouTube vlog that he did, Dorian was on it yesterday.
He weighs what?
I think 160, I think 165.
He's in the 60s. Yeah.
I mean, is there a possibility we can match him on a submission hunter?
On a submission hunter, maybe. Yeah. Well, I reached out to Dorian and his dad, to Mike. So
Mark used to train with us over at Travis's from time to time.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Like is that strong as shit?
Mike strong.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Also a black belt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm grateful to have them as training partners. I got to coach Dorian early on in wrestling. And then as he started to like blow up in jiu-jitsu, I was like, hold on. You've been like keeping this from me. Show me. So he got to coach me very recently. The dude, that kid's world class, legitimately.
When you see some of, the recognition he's getting as far as like on the grappling scene of it, do you ever look at knowing your grappling background, like maybe dabbling in both, like doing a couple sub hunters or
keeping going? I was supposed to do sub hunter pro 2 years ago and I got strep throat and the flu at the same time, and it caused like a little rash like Khamzat Chimaev just had actually. So I had to pull out of that. I would love to do a sub hunter pro. I think wrestling and jiu-jitsu are ugly cousins, and the better you can get at both, the more you're going to destroy
people.
People
who don't know, it's Dorian Olivares, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Team, I think it's Team Olivares on IG.
IG. Yeah.
Yeah. So, Mike, if you're listening, we want your boy at some point. So
that's sad.
I think they call that grooming.
Cutthroat Kyle listens to the podcast.
Let us be the first promotion that y'all come to, please.
Let us nurture your boy. Is that what you're saying?
We'll take the best care of him.
Are you going to groom this child?
He's 18. He's an adult.
Well, now you're groomable.
It's legal. It's legal.
Yeah, it's legal.
It's now
legal
it's just now. Courting, okay?
So you just recently had your first pro fight.
Yeah.
Picked up a submission of the year, but you had a last minute opponent change and went up a weight class.
Yep.
Kind of talk to us a little bit about a lot of fighters and teams would have been like, oh, we're just not going to fight too many changes going on.
Yeah.
Talk to us about a little bit about your mentality when you were hearing this is going to change or this is going to change.
If you decide like, if you're fighting or you're not fighting or if that's something you let your coaches do. You're not managed, right? You have a manager?
I'm not managed not yet.
Okay.
Yeah. I there's a direction I'm going with that for certain, but I'm. With that, so I was going against a guy who is a boxer and kind of a sport jiu-jitsu guy, orthodox. 4 weeks out, his kid got into some kind of accident, stuff like that. I totally get it. I totally understand that. So then I switched to a 6'1 southpaw. Completely different fight, and that's who I trained for the last 4 weeks. CJ Henney, I think his name is.
Yeah, Henney.
And he got hospitalized the night before trying to cut weight. So again, I kind of get that, like that's something serious. So my teammate Luke had a really bad back injury and pulled out against the fight at 155. You guys, smart enough, had that guy weigh in at 160 just in case. I get up at 5 a.m. and do a weight cut before every single weigh-in that we do. I had just got done with my 5 a.m. weight cut. I got out of the shower. I stepped on the scale, 145.6. Like, let's go. James says, it's Copley on the phone. They want you to fight at 160. So if you want to fight, like, eat your shit now. Eat your stuff now. So I grabbed the post meal that I had and all the fruit that I had, and I just started going to town. Came in, weighed in 155.6 and got the dub. I didn't like how that guy was talking about Luke, calling him a clown on his Instagram and saying.
Is this stuff you saw before you weighed
in? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I accepted the fight already on the way up because it was my pro debut.
Right.
I did two back-to-back fight camps before that fights. Where the guys pulled out. Yeah. So I had just done 18 weeks of fight camps. I was fighting somebody. And then I looked this dude up, and he was talking bad about my teammates. So I was like, all right, let's get it popping. It was a little bit personal when I got in there. But, man, the first round, my feet felt like they were in cement a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, and so I know when I feel that, it's like, okay, it's not going to flow today. I have to fall back onto my programs, onto my systems, jab, cross, hook, whatever. And so, yeah, ugly first round. I knew I was going to gas him out because I have the best gas tank of anyone I've seen. And second round, he was looking at me like this, and that's when I started smiling. And then he tried to smile, but I already saw the look in his eyes, and I knew he was done.
I remember we noticed that. We noticed that, and we called it out whenever it happened.
The first few seconds of that fight, he actually came running and threw a flying knee.
Sprinted flying knee,
and
dude.
It almost took you back.
I know, like, I know.
The way y'all fell.
Yeah, early on.
And you could see you kind of like, well, fuck, we just got here, dog.
Yep, literally. You can, like, slow-mo the video, too. I always sprint at my opponent, and I slipped. And I swear, like, yeah, I was meant to slip. Because if I hadn't, that might have connected. Yeah, I saw him. I tried to throw a teep, and he kind of got caught on my foot. Immediately took my back, turned around, got him up against the fence, which his coaches did a great job of calling out. I was walking him over. Like, he's trying to get you on the fence. That's my head position. Yeah. Smash. And yeah, he stood up, and then we took a break, and that's when I felt. I was like, man, my feet feel like they're 40 pounds. Damn, man. It's like 70% of the time I'll feel like free in there, like I'm floating, like it's amazing. But then the other 30, it feels like that. Like, it's,
but like all that stuff that you went through on weigh-in day, like I don't think people understand from both the fighter perspective and the promotion perspective how much crap like we both had to circle through just to make sure that fight happened amongst everybody else that still had to weigh in and do stuff. And here I'm like,
this is just one fight.
Yeah, I gotta call this dude's coach. Yeah. I gotta call the other one and make sure that they're good with the fight. Cause like he had to at some point say, damn, I'm about to fight this damn young, college
undefeated
young wrestler stud that was their champion as an amateur. This is a totally different fight for me too.
Yeah. Shout out to him for taking it.
Yeah, so shout out to him for taking it. Even though like from his standpoint, I would have been like, well, man, this dude's about to fight at 145. I'm 160. Yeah. I got the advantage.
That's kind of lose-lose a little bit too, though. You get beat by a 45er.
Yeah, it is. But like even for somebody like you, like I could have seen 10 other featherweights in your position that would have said, nah, man, we're gonna have to pass.
I appreciate that.
Like this dude is 15 pounds heavier. We already cut weight. We'll just wait for the next card. But this dude said, man, I'm taking it. And not only did he take it, but he finished with a twister and got submission
of the year, man.
Like, that's the definition of capitalizing on opportunity.
I appreciate that greatly. Fortune favors the bold. And it's crazy. 2 years ago, I wrote that I wanted to be the Fury Amateur Champion on my goals list for war. And then I did that in the last month, the last fight, last opportunity. And then I wrote on my goals for this year, I wanted the Fury Pro Submission of the Year for my goals list for war. And the last month, last opportunity, it happened. Amazing. I knew y'all were going to get me a fight because I remember, and this is, man, I love your organization. I was asked to fight for some other organizations as an amateur. I turned them all down. You guys are the best, like plain and simple. But I remember when I was supposed to fight for the 155 AMI belt, the last one where I was going to be the champ, you were asking people at weigh-ins, like, oh, your opponent's out. Do you want to? Da, 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 and nobody did. It's like, if you're going to be a fighter, show up and fight. That's the mentality I hold.
Especially as an amateur.
You know, what do you have to lose?
Like I said earlier, like I can understand as a pro in your first few fights, you know, you got to be careful. You got to take care. You know, you can't be careless, but I mean, as an amateur, man, like something happens at weigh-ins, your guy falls out, whatever, there's no record to protect, man. You just want that cage
time. You could take those chances as an amateur.
So what's your typical like training week like? When do you like multiple two a day strength conditioning? Like tell us about it.
So I do pretty much all day. I go to war, I get up at 9, I go to war, I get there at like 10, I'm there until 9 o'clock at night. In that time, I'm doing mitts with Coach Copley, I'll meet up with Alec Chang and hit mitts. I do every practice that war offers during that time period, and then in between, I'll either nap or stretch or roll out or something. So, I mean, you could just call it one big session, but it's kind of like 5 and 6 a days. Like, it is my whole life. You know, I take this seriously. I have since I was a little kid. Watch film, et cetera. When I'm in fight camp, the only thing that changes is my diet, and I get up at 5 a.m. 3 days a week and go on runs just because Mike Tyson said it builds your mental fortitude, and obviously I change my diet to make weight. So, yeah, this is my whole life. It's all I do. I'm happy to be here on the podcast talking about what I do.
We're excited to have you, man. Like you've been a favorite of not just the show, but of us here working at Fury to want to work with your willingness to fight whoever, whenever, whatever the weight. Just send me a name and a time, and I'll be there.
Yeah,
that's like one of my that's my favorite.
Yeah,
to when dealing with a fighter, like I want him to be smart, but that's like it makes my job. There's so much stress that goes into there. I told Rich yesterday, I was like, dude, I quit.
Yeah, he did.
I quit. Eric, you quit when you're the owner?
Just so y'all know, he quit yesterday.
I quit Fury.
And I vetoed that shit.
Yeah. But like something like that, like when you have such a couple bad days of dealing with stuff and then you get somebody like this, it's like, okay, man, I'm not quitting. Because that guy deserves to be at the next level. And if I can't play a role in that, I won't be able to play a role in that if I stop doing this. And he deserves that. Somebody like him deserves that, so yeah, I'm doing it.
Genuinely, you guys, like real as can be, you guys helped me change my life. I tell people all the time, you want to be with Fury Fighting. Like, if you want to do this, you want to be here. And you guys said your inboxes are full. Yeah. Some of my college wrestling friends, some of my like fighter friends, like, how can I get in with Fury? Da 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 da.
Send them.
Yeah, yeah.
Send them. We got some guys over at UFC Fight Pass who love college wrestlers.
I can funnel you guys.
They love college wrestlers.
Yeah, we'll take all the college wrestlers that you have. What I was going to say is one thing that you did, you know, early in your career, toward the end of your amateur career, we kind of gave your coaches a little bit of buff about like, hey man, tell them to stop fucking wrestling everybody. Like we got it. You're a good wrestler, and we get it. Hippo, whatever, didn't make weight, didn't deserve to stand up.
That's right.
Like I totally respect that and love that. But also it became like, can we see something? Like we know that you can smash and dominate. And dude, you strolled into Denver and this fucking dude starts reeling off head kicks. Like I want to say he spammed like three in a row. And all of a sudden we're like, this dude's a striker now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, where does this come from?
Thing. Bruce did the same thing, man. Yeah, like,
yeah.
So imagine their frustration when you got a guy who is like a point sparring state finalist in karate. I have some amateur boxing fights. I went to a split decision with the Louisiana Golden Glove champ in boxing. Like I have all this skill on my feet and I just didn't show it for like three fights in a row. Jeremy, when I did the twister, Jeremy, Lily, we like hugged each other and he was like, I was going to kick your ass because you weren't boxing. But then I got submission of the year, so it didn't matter.
It's shout out cool, Jeremy Mahone.
He's the best.
I think one of the things that you see for me every time I get a high level wrestler or even a good wrestler, so when you can rely on that wrestling, you end up seeing a corner eventually get turned, because in the beginning you're like, fuck, I can take it down, you don't have to hit me in the face, cool.
Yeah.
Well then what happens is you start running into another Kyle toe drink.
Yeah.
And you're like, well now I can't take this fucking guy down, what do I do now? But also there's a willingness to engage when you can wrestle. And if you've watched like you and Bruce lately, and it's something I really push for, like, listen, the worst comes to worst. Throw your flying knee, throw your fucking spinning shit. If you worst happens, you're in a scramble.
Yeah.
Fuck, man, you're good.
Yeah.
Like, you'll be okay.
Hit that spinning back fist Murano guillotine. Dude. You remember that?
Dude, yes.
That was sick.
Yes, man.
He should have got at least nominee for submission of the year for that, I think, for them.
And then you get to, and so you get to train, like he cross trains over there with you guys like 2 days a week? Or?
That's what I was going to say about the wrestling program. You were talking earlier about like the best wrestling programs coming out of MMA gym. Imagine you're like a high school kid and you look in the other room and you see Trevin Giles and Alex Morano sparring. Yeah, yeah, that's a fight night main event, legitimately. Yeah, so
imagine you bring Zach Reese in there too now.
For real. We got some of the best dudes in the world in our gym, and I'm so grateful to get to train with them. Trevin has really shown me the way as far as like fighting and stand up and mentality and things like that. I'm fully confident he's one of the best people in the world.
Trevin was my 185 AMI champ at one point.
Yeah. One of like three people to have, or one of like nine people to have wins at three different weight classes, 205, 85, and 70. Yep. Yeah, he's a dog, man. He'll go down the
Trevin
record book
had
for
a,
sure.
He fought, remember Christian Sutton, the other one from Gracie Baja?
Yeah.
I forgot what his nickname was. Rasta, but
no.
Him and Trevin had a banger fight in my promotion.
We're talking about OG stories. Alex Morano, one of his favorite stories, he fought a dude that bit him. And then the dude tried to fight you in the back because he gave his tickets to his friends or something like that.
Rashid Abdul.
Hey, Murano loves that story. Yeah. I've heard it like three times.
Yes, yeah, so like, actually, he went in on Jace, who was my partner back then. And then when he went in on Jace, like, all of Houston went in on him.
Yeah.
And like, he was a rat.
Hey, you was a fighter too. You were like, what's up?
That was my second show ever.
It was a rat.
And shit was going down backstage.
What's crazy is that dude hit me up like in the last 6 months on IG asking for a fight.
Get me in there.
And I didn't even respond. Yeah. Like, no way. Man, out of respect for my boy.
Two fights. You fight in there and then we fight backstage.
Yeah. I'm not dealing with that kind of nonsense. And like, we were a young promotion back then. So stuff like, and not that stuff like that can't still happen, but we kind of got it more under wraps now. Like, we don't have to put up with that crap. Like,
nah, for sure
not. You disrespect, you're out.
Yeah.
You won't get another call. That's just how it is.
I've seen a few fights in the crowd, but I feel like that's any MMA or fight event.
At the UFC, man.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah.
We've been to some UFC fights and like, dude, you're brawling in the aisle next to us. And
there's like so much tea in the arena. Oh, like,
That happens at the movies after Rocky IV, man.
Yeah.
People get in fights.
My brother will grab me after fights, like, let's go. I'm like,
You're like, calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
I just got done fighting.
Leave me alone.
What do you think about, like, these guys like Bo Nickel and that are in the UFC
now? Yeah, I love it. I think the more superstars there can be in the UFC, the better it is for everyone involved, right? The rising tides raise all ships, et cetera. Like, I love seeing new superstars emerge in the UFC because I know there's piece for the pie, and I want to be the next superstar, et cetera. So I love seeing these dudes have success. I was actually surprised by his stand-up. He's smoked, dude.
It's getting better.
You bring it up all the time on the podcast, Rich. It's like, if they're scared of the takedown, you can really do whatever to them until you get that takedown or whatever. I feel like that dude was really overthinking the wrestling, and he got starched.
Bo's got a best friend that recently signed for us, Anthony
Kassar. Yeah.
Yeah, so your teammate has accepted, James has accepted a fight for him for March 10th, and we already got the go on Kassar's in pending James's
fight coming up.
Fight that's next week, right? He's fighting.
Yeah.
What do you think about that matchup for James versus Kassar?
Body. Yeah, okay. I think James is gonna get that. People don't know the boxing James has. You guys saw it in the last fight that he just had. His boxing is on another level. He spars with Demonte Randall, who's been around the pro boxing circuit forever. Me and Eugene Hill, who was an IBO world champion back in the day from Galveston. James spars with those dudes all the time. James's boxing is next level. What people also don't know, James was trained by Sergey Kataev, who was a combat sambo world champion. So from the time James was like 13 years old, this combat sambo, which you see Khabib and all these guys blowing up with combat sambo, this combat sambo world champion who was a Olympic coach for Russia, or a world coach for Russia, I don't want to mess that up, he's a master of sport, took James under his wing and kind of showed James. So these suplexes you're seeing, the throws that James hits, that's straight from Russia. So Kassar, dude. Kassar's the big name. He's the big, I get it, he's a national champion. But when you take James's roundabout skills in this sport, his boxing and the Russian wrestling that he has, it's a bad fight for a guy like Kassar, in my opinion.
Kassar's good. And he does
for sure. He's a national champion.
It's hard sometimes when I think about how do you weigh different victories and titles, because you look at someone like James, he's got a fucking list of things that he's accolades, he's achieved.
Credentials, high school national champion. Fargo national champion, two-time All-American at Fargo. And then in college, he was the U23 All-American two times as well. One of the times he had just got to Ohio State was on like 4 months of training. This is another thing people don't know. James Ford was one of five partners for Kyle Snyder when Kyle Snyder won the Olympic championship. So it's like James is not knowledgeable about what it takes to be a world champion, Olympic champion. He was around it when somebody did a cycle for it.
So I went, his first fight with us was Jake Williams.
And so
I'm sitting there and,
hey,
Jeremy and them walk out and I'm talking with Jeremy and you know, I'm an affiliate with the Gorilla Mob. So like, we're just talking bullshit and I go, what's up with this kid? And he's like, this kid can wrestle. And I was like, okay, well, everybody from between our teams can fucking wrestle. Like, yeah. All right. He gets in and I get the picture. Like, he's flying through the air. All of a sudden Jake's flying through the air and I stop watching the fight. Cause it was a beautiful, beautiful suplex.
Yeah, Jake's a big boy, man. But I stopped watching the fight
to pull up my phone. I'm like, this motherfucker wrestled where? I started looking it up. I'm like, Fargo. I'm like, oh,
there it goes.
Okay, all right. Yeah. You can wrestle.
Some days we still call James the Sheriff of Dickinson from that fight.
James is another guy we're super excited to have, man. For him to be pro debuting with us. And Costello as well, though.
Yeah.
Like, that's another two. That's a solid addition to the light heavyweight division, for sure.
I think what a lot of people don't understand with Fury is this is an opportunity. Like, this is a platform for you. You're supposed to set up the biggest and the best fights that people are going to tune into and people are going to watch. People get upset sometimes because of the result of that fight.
Right.
But me and James both understand, like, you guys are trying to see the best. In my opinion, James and him are the best. Let's see it. That's what the people want to see.
And if you're going to take a fight like that, like I always say, you take it now when you're still young in your career. You know, a loss is not going to hurt either one of them because they can always bounce back and even the score. You know what I'm saying? But like that fight when both of them are 5-0 or something, it's going to do a little more damage to one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really going to catapult the winner
to the next level. For certain. Yeah. Hey, that the weigh-in he was just talking about, me and James's debut, do you remember my eye? I got a corneal abrasion the Wednesday before, and you told Copley, you're like, man, if this kid shows up like this tomorrow, he's not fighting. And then I showed up, and I like held my eye open for the doctor. Bro, I'll tell you, I've never pulled out and I've never missed weight.
Fucking tape up here.
Like, no, he's always here.
I'm good. Yeah. I wore sunglasses to face offs. I felt like a straight D-bag.
Man, people don't understand all the crap that we deal with behind. No. It's a lot of stuff, man.
You see it on TV and it looks easy and it looks, oh, I could do that.
Everybody sees the finished product, man. Yep. And like this, that goes, I'm sure every other promotion goes through the same thing.
Yeah. For sure.
You know, the same thing. And like,
sometimes it's hard, the number of headaches we get, though, is more because there's so many going on at one time.
Yeah.
Because even though you're saying, like, you're at weigh-ins, and now you got to call this guy and tell him his weight's off, so he got to fix this. At that same time all that's happening, your phone's also blowing up. Hey, how do I get to weigh-ins?
Yeah.
Where do I go here?
Or somebody just got on the scale, and it's your co-main event, and they just miss weight. Now you're in jeopardy of losing the co-main because the other guy don't want to take the fight because he was off by 1.2 pounds.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. Now they'll get their money.
Yeah.
I'll get their money.
And not to mention the list of missed calls, people looking for free tickets. Hey, I got to get a couple of tickets.
That's it.
Hey, I'm all out of free tickets for this 2024.
We're all out. People hit me up for tickets, so I tell them I'm an up and coming fighter. That means I'm poor, not rich.
Hey, you know me, though. You know me, bro.
Buy me a ticket, Kyle, to your fight.
I saw your Yahoo Sports article. They didn't send me a dollar.
They didn't send me nothing. Nothing for that.
It's all about getting the name out there right now.
Yeah.
Like, when he signs that UFC contract, then y'all hit him up for tickets.
Give me like, wait till my second contract.
Yeah. Wait till his second 50K. So
you mentioned, they'll give you a link that people can go
having,
to.
Like, goals that you set
get a discount.
I have Russian link.
What do
you,
there you go.
What are your goals for MMA in 2024?
I want to go 4-0 with you guys, and I want to get the call either to a contender or to I think tough. I missed the boat on that. I know they're doing like May or something like that at my weight class. So I probably missed the boat on that. But yeah, contender or UFC by the end of this year. And again, right, you guys are giving me the platform. You guys are giving me the opportunity. I got one spectacular finish. I got to go get 3 or 4 more in order to get that done. So those are my goals. I always set my goals as high as possible.
You're good for March 10th?
Yeah. I'll be in there.
You got your contract? I think I emailed you last night, maybe.
I got you. I'll sign that today. So. I'll sign that on the pod.
You want to talk about the opponent in the fight?
Yeah, that's fine. Jacob Berry. That's who I'm fighting, right?
Yeah,
Jacob.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Jacob Berry called me out 2 days before my last fight. I did not like that he did that. I think he's got some solid stand-up. He's shown a little bit more grappling in his last fight, but I think I'm a freight train, to be honest with you.
That's a good fight against somebody who's, 3-1?
2-1 right now, Barry? I think. 2-1.
2-1 or 3-1. Anyway, but 1-0, that's another opportunity that this man is capitalizing on, saying, "Hey, listen, I know he's got a few more pro fights than I do, but I'm gonna."
I was actually excited about that fight when you hit me up.
That's a good fight, man.
Yeah, we had trained together twice in the past. And I'm not gonna speak on that because I don't speak on sparring, and sparring is sparring. I mean, it's not a fight.
Right.
But yeah, when you told me about that, it's hard for me to get opponents. It's been hard for me to get opponents. Someone called me out. I said I don't like that, but I didn't like that it was 2 days before the fight. Yeah, exactly. I got a fight lined up now. I don't have to worry about nothing else. I'm in training. Let's get it done.
And Jacob's a solid guy, like, you know, so obviously there should be no animosity going into this. Y'all go in there, handle business, and it's going to do wonders for the winner. Like, it's another.
I'm curious, training with him, and when I see him, he has been like cool. I was curious as to why he called me out, but I don't take things like that personally. This is the fight game. Like I said, we're here to set up fights. Let's do it.
I'm assuming then having some sparring sessions and the call out, he probably thinks he sees something you take advantage of.
Yeah, I think the same thing. So March 10, tune in and find out.
Looking forward to that one, man.
Good scrap. What you doing over there, Wayne?
I was looking up Tapology records on Jacob Berry, and it says he's 3-0. Both of y'all are inaccurate if Tapology is to be believed.
Nah, he lost.
He lost in Dallas, sure. I think.
Yeah.
He lost in that Cajuns.
Yeah, on the Colin Cantrell.
Yeah.
You were there.
I don't remember him fighting on that card.
Yeah, he fought out there.
Yeah, hey, man, it's been a while. I was.
His second fight, I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
So he's got three fights for us, right, or two?
Two fights for us.
Got a performance of the night.
Oh well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I like fighting people with credentials and resumes.
He's good.
Yeah. I get to snatch him.
And what I like about it is, like, he seems like he's solid enough to where I know, okay, if I book this fight, unless something devastating happens, he's not going to pull out.
Yeah.
And I say that, but I mean, shit happens. But we look to make fights and hope that these fights make it all the way to fight night.
So we got ruled a no contest.
Which one?
The one you're all talking about.
Oh.
For Jacob.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. All good.
Good job. Good win.
Good job.
Good no contest. Yeah. What you got, Diego?
You've been quiet over there.
And he ain't said shit over
I'm
there.
Enjoying this podcast.
All right, so.
I'm listening to his questions.
So, title's on the line. You got to fight Adam Copley or Jeremy Mahone. Who are you taking on?
Give me Richard. Give me, to zoom in if you can. Give me Richard. Give me Richard.
He's taking an easier fight.
Oh, man.
No, dude. Those guys, I talk about you guys helping change my life legitimately. Those guys have also helped change my life, giving me opportunities. On Adam's birthday, I sent him a pretty long text, like, thank you for showing me the behind the scenes of this fight game, etc. Those guys are amazing. I love being at war, and I think we're going to be the next gym to kick in the door. Like, you saw City Kickboxing. Before that, it was like Alpha Male. Before that, you know, where Chuck Liddell trained back in the day. There's been these like big teams that the UFC likes to do storylines around and stuff like that. Not only do we have some of the best fighters in the country, we have some of the most interesting fighters in the country. Yeah. Like y'all tell me people aren't going to tune in to see Karan Reed. Like, talking his shit, like
his friends.
There you go.
His friends.
So where can our fans learn more about you, and where can they follow you at?
My Instagram is ktodrank145. My Twitter is flawless_victory. Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, you get the reference.
I like that.
I think TikTok, I'm ktodrank145, and don't add me on Facebook because that's for my grandma. I don't post nothing. I don't post nothing about it on there.
Scriptures.
Pictures. Bible studies.
Yeah, that's all.
Is there any?
Kids can follow you on Facebook.
Sponsors? Anybody you want to thank before we go?
Fries and Drinks. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring me. Been one of the most helpful, consistent sponsors that I've had. Lamasco's Bar and Grill, thank you guys tremendously for sponsoring me, especially early on in my career when I needed it. Both you guys means the world.
I mean, I can tell you have been one of our favorite fighters to watch come up from the ranks. And you are on all of our top lists when we talk about like prospects moving forward at 145. There hasn't been a list that your name isn't toward the top of, like toward the very top of it. I'm excited to see what 2024 brings for you, man. And, you know, keep up the awesome
outlook you have on this.
For sure.
Like, it's been it's great to work with you. We always love that, calling you. You're ready for a fight. You're on weight. You go up, down, whatever you need. You tell me what weight we need to be at. And I can say as a promotion and as a coach and affiliate with you guys, it's proud. I'm very proud to see how you represent like the Gorilla Mob and everything that our guys do, man. So
I appreciate you, big dog. Thank you guys so much for having me on. You guys are the boys. Like I'm more than happy to be on here. All you guys as guests and everything have been phenomenal. Yeah, thank you guys so much.
All we ask for is when you get to the UFC, just give us a shout out.
That's it.
We got pictures together, boy. Thank you for changing my life. Thank you for changing my life. I got you.
Shout out to my boys at the Fury Unleashed podcast.
Yeah, you guys have been phenomenal to me. I appreciate you guys greatly.
Awesome, man. Wayne, it's on you, baby.
Hey, thanks to the Fury FC featherweight prospect cutthroat Kyle Toedrang for being here. Hey, guys, the time for talk is over. This has been Fury Unleashed. Sober monkey.
And now, Houston, Texas, make some noise because the time for talk is over. It's time to.